Blurred Line Media.
Bodies in motion, stay in motion. Once we get moving and get out of rest mode and get into moving mode, we will continue to move. It's just making this push now to get us rolling in the right direction.
We're going to talk a little bit about the consolidation of the county seats and how that's going. And of course, we're going to deal a little bit with the board meeting that took place that's all over Facebook. Sean, I know everybody knows you, but kind of give a little short introduction again for those new listeners that we probably have after this last board meeting.
Sure. I'm Sean Johnson, and you stated I am the director of the Chickasaw Development Foundation. I've been here in Houston for 6 months now, and part of my job is just to, you know, grow Houston, and so that's what I'm working on a lot of ways.
Well, I've been knowing you almost since you got here. It was a few days. You sort of hit the ground busy, I think, because like the day that you got here, I think you turned out some kind of flyer for the Flywheel Festival.
That's
or
right.
Whatever it was, the last one we had.
So right.
You hit the ground running, but within a few days, I had met you and talked to you. And so far, I had to say I like you a little bit, so
okay.
I haven't referred to you as an outsider yet.
Right.
I'm thinking about it because that seems to be a growing trend. You know, the first time I heard anybody call you that, you were an outside cat.
That's right.
Now you're just an outsider, and if I understood it right, you have no hope of ever being a citizen. You're an outsider, and you won't ever be a citizen.
You know, yeah, that came up at the meeting, right? I asked him if there was any time limit that I wasn't aware of, and, you know, I might stick around till then, whatever that was.
Well, I there's several people that have made comments about that, along the lines of, what about his Shannon address?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that really is, a lot of people have made that comment, you know. He's talking about you being an outsider, but his address is in Shannon, which
right.
is not in Chickasaw County. So, we'll leave that alone. That's just to kind of stir the pot a little bit with that.
Right, right.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I did.
That's okay. I mean, it was part of it. It was, it was an experience to be a part of that meeting, and I'm sure it was an experience to watch it. There was a good bit of crowd participation.
Wait a minute. Was it a church service? Was there any amens or?
There were some boos and there were comments from the gallery there. I wasn't the only outsider. Mr. Hall told Floyd Ingram, the publisher of the paper here, that he was an outsider too. Of course,
right.
Floyd's been here 8 years now,
yeah.
So. So that kind of gave me some idea of how long I'd have to stick
around.
And
you're not going to make it, are you?
I don't know. I'm really liking you, sir.
Well, if you make it 8 years, that'll be you, mate. Well, wait a minute. Now, Floyd's been here 8.
That's right.
He's still an outsider.
Maybe it's 10 years. I'll have to look it up. It might be on the book somewhere.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and count you as an insider.
Okay.
And so now. As an insider,
mm-hmm.
that was once an outsider looking in,
right?
You have what some people have called a fresh set of eyes.
Yes.
And for people who always have done things a certain way,
mm-hmm.
There's a result for that. So if we continue to do what we've always done the same way, we'll probably continue getting the same results that we've always gotten.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, probably going to be, what, nearly $1 million shortfall in the budget or more?
Right. Well, they say that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting
exactly.
different results.
Expecting different results.
And, you know, when I came down here, I knew kind of about the two-county seat thing. It's not that common of a thing. There are, I think, eight counties in the state like that, several more scattered across the country, and all of them share different historical reasons for being that way. Of course, ours, there was a very valid reason at one time to have two county seats. You had that River Valley that flooded, and you know, it might take a whole day in good weather to get from one side of the county to the other back in 1890, but we've got bridges and cars and telephones now, and that time's gone. But in the meantime, I mean, I understand that if it were reversed and we were in Oklahoma, I would expect the Houston people to be kind of upset about moving that county seat on an emotional level. But I think that my benefit with the fresh eyes is I don't have an emotional tie to it. I'm just looking at it more pragmatically, I think. And when you're looking at $500,000 spent every year on duplicating services, you know, that's $5 million over 10 years, and right. We can't even pave roads.
Well, that was part of the thing is that leads into the benefits of consolidation. I've read several comments from different people. The vast majority of them are in favor of it.
Yes.
Because I think people realize that it actually is costing the county. Mm-hmm. But that reason is no longer valid.
Right.
You know, you're a 20-mile drive from Oklahoma to Houston.
Right.
Of course, now somebody has proposed consolidating it in Van Vliet.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then you're looking at building projects.
Well, you're negating the whole purpose
exactly.
of consolidation.
You're going to spend more than the $5 million to get all of that done.
My understanding is Van Vliet, you know, currently it's so isolated where it is to get the required internet service out there, which
exactly.
is a very special encrypted service that governments use. It costs $1,250 a month.
Right.
For internet service.
That's, yeah.
You know, and we could do the same thing here for, what would, 10 times less, you know. So, you know, and I think that people there are looking for compromise and fairness and so forth and saying that that's where it should be. Houston is close enough to the center of the county that it would make for a fair place for a county seat, plus the fact that we already have the facilities.
Well,
we're already designated
now,
as a county seat.
Technically speaking, Houston already has virtually everything they'll need.
Yeah.
They'll need some upgrades on certain infrastructure like internet capabilities and such
right.
as that, I think. They don't already run an encrypted internet service here, do they?
Well, I think that they have to have the same.
Okay.
You know, there has to be the same thing. But to get that line out there all the way, you know, they're the sole user.
So you're saying to get, we have it here now.
I believe so.
To
yeah.
get it out there is going to cost a fortune.
No, it already has it out there. They're already spending that a month for that
in Houston.
In Van Vliet.
In Van Vliet.
They have an office there that they put there when they were trying to compromise at one
oh, really?
Point in the past.
See, I didn't know that.
So there is an office in Van Vliet, and to have that office in Van Vliet, they incur an extra charge of $1,250 a month. Now, this is my understanding, just for their internet service. Now, I may be corrected, but that is what I have heard, that it was $1,250 a month for the internet service in Van Vliet.
I was mad when I had to pay $80.
Exactly.
And, you know, my business, we're about $260 for internet.
Right.
And we just give that away free to whoever parks in front of the building, you know, and uses it.
Mm-hmm.
but $1,250 to have a compromise when we would be, I think, and most people, I believe, see that it would be better off consolidated and the logical location for it to be consolidated to would be Houston.
Well, I mean, we have a courthouse, we have a town square, and my view of it is, you know, a county seat is a source. It's the source of prestige and the source of the economic center generally of a county.
Right.
And, you know, with us dividing that prestige and dividing that economic power, we've ended up with two weak situations. And what we need is to build one strong situation. I always liken these things to, you know, on an airplane, when the stewardess is given the instructions about, you know, in case oxygen, you know, decreases as things fall out of the ceiling. And they always stress that you put it on yourself first before you try and help the other people, because you're not going to be able to help anybody if you don't have yourself sorted first. And, you know, with this initiative. You know, and it's not something that we just came up with and wanted to force on the people. This all started with a survey asking the people of the county what they wanted. And, you know, the survey results, 90%, 9 out of 10 people want to consolidate the county seats. And they do because they, you know, this is all our money. You know, we talk about spending that money on that internet service out there. You know, I think that the sometimes government administrators forget where this money comes from, but this is all our money here.
Exactly. That's that,
and we want to make the best use of it.
Speaking of that, I was just going to kind of, because I'm not good with math in my head. You're looking at $15,000 a year for internet service to Van Vliet, if that's what's going on.
And that's just what I've heard. That might not be true at all.
And it may not, because I don't know. And also, you're looking at, now, I've read several different figures. One was said that it came from a study that was done years ago.
2006.
Okay. About $350,000-something.
Yep. And that was just for the duplicative services. Okay. So that was the Chancery clerk at the time, I believe, was the one that provided those numbers. And that was the duplicative services at the time. That's the two clerks, two offices, two everything that we had to do to maintain these two county seats. Those numbers, at that time, it was $375,000.
Okay, $375,000.
And then but in 2018 dollars, that's about $500,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, so we really are looking at somewhere around the $500,000 mark.
Right, right. And just the duplicative services. Now, there are other things that come into that, too.
Well, this is some of the other things that, that would add to that. There's been a lot of talk since this came up about the lodge in Oklahoma, and they have their court there on the second floor, right, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I've heard so many different things, and everybody says that they're right about it. They know because they got the information, but they're all saying different things. Now, some say we rent the floor, and we do upkeep on that floor and the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And the AC system. Then other people say, well, no, we own the second floor.
Right.
And we own the elevator. And, you know, but at this point, from what I've gathered talking to people, nobody knows where the deed is.
That's right.
Nobody has any record of rent being paid.
Mm-hmm.
There's, in other words, there seems to be, now notice everybody, I said there seems to be.
Right.
I'm not saying there is. It seems to be something shady going on with that building.
I can't speak to that, but I can speak to the point. My understanding is that we own the second floor of the building and we rent the first floor of the building. We are responsible for upkeep on the roof and the general upkeep of the building, which in an old building like that can be substantial. You know, the building looks great. A lot of money's been put into that building. You know, the problem with a rented building, you put a bunch of money into it, and when you walk away from it, you don't own anything.
You know, I'm in the middle of that. Right. I know how that is.
You can't recoup that, and you can't keep a rented building as an asset on your portfolio. Not that you would ever sell the courthouse, for instance,
exactly,
or sell anything. But the bottom line is you've got an ongoing expense and you can't build equity in rented property. You know, my thought on it is if we can use the building, the part of the building that we own in Okolona to have a service center, you know, an auxiliary center, but, you know, not just about the money, but it's about the, like you said a minute ago, there's no deed. Nobody knows what's going on. You know, that leaves us open. And I feel like it would be a lot simpler and a lot smarter to consolidate government in one place. You know?
And I think most people would agree with that. And I think, like you stated earlier, that there's some emotional attachment to the way things are with some.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. I really can. But now, this consolidation, it would benefit everybody.
Yeah.
Across the creek and on this side of the creek.
It would definitely benefit everybody. $500,000 would pave about 10 miles of road a year. From an economic development standpoint, and I was talking to some higher up developers today about the Hopewell site over there on 45, 1,100 acres out there. That's a big site, and we're having to the structure of it is such as it's really great for an employer to come in and build something with 500 employees. Great site in Chickasaw County for something. The problem is the sewer system and getting the water system lined up for it would cost $20 million.
What?
All right?
$20 million.
$20 million. So we're not in a position to spend $200,000.
Right.
Okay? We have got to get our house in order if we're going to go after any of these things. And what I think that some people don't realize, they get caught up in their own little bubbles and their own little universes. But every town, not just in Mississippi, not just in North Mississippi, but in the Southeast, pretty much the whole country, you know, they're competing for a 500-person business to come here. All right. And, in Tupelo, they're building a brand new industrial park, out on the west side of town. We can't do that. We can't upkeep what we've got. We can't do further investment in what we have. We're losing people. We have got to start figuring out how to save money.
Well, that's one of the things that I've been kind of talking about with various people. A lot of people are talking about industry. We need with the alcohol petition still in full swing. I've heard some statements from people about, we don't need alcohol, we need industry. We should be focusing on industry. Well, I don't think it's quite as easy as some people think.
No, not at all.
Industry.
No,
especially in this day and age.
You've got to have, when I tour people through town, you know, we had in New Albany when I was there, we had a furniture plant come, and I was out visiting with the guy one afternoon. And, he said, I just really like this town and the way it feels. It feels like a lot of good stuff's going on here. And we were in competition with other towns, but he liked the vibe that we had going in New Albany. We had so much momentum going. And that's where we have to get in Houston.
Right. Now, tell me something.
Uh-huh.
The vibe. I can understand that.
Right.
What vibe do we have now?
Right now, what I found is...
And before you answer that, I'm talking about... Talk to me from that developer's point of view. He said he liked the vibe, or he liked what was going.
Right.
From his point of view, if you can kind of step into his shoes just for a second, what do you think his assessment would be of not necessarily just Houston, but Chickasaw in general?
Well, I mean, his assessment, and I want to preface this by saying that, I've been here 6 months, so I've gotten to know the people here, and I am just enamored with the people and the culture here. I have people that I barely know praying for me. It is just a sweet group of people, and there's a comfort in that, but it's like we've been in this quilt and everybody's happy and we've got each other happy.
You
know,
get prayed for around here if you're careful.
Right. No, it's good. It's great. I use all I can get, but the thing is we get myopic. We forget where that other people are going to see something different. It's kind of like when I first got here and the litter was bugging me because it was fresh to me.
Yes.
And people now, I see them walk by, and these are people that look good, like good people, and they don't pick it up. And it's not because they don't care. It's because they don't see it anymore.
It's done got to the point to where that is the normal.
Right.
That's the norm. That's
right.
What it would probably be abnormal if there wasn't a paper cup thrown out somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Or a Sonic bag or, a grind cup or anything. I mean, it's all – and I don't understand that because, I don't throw anything out.
Mm-mm.
And it actually embarrasses me when I see one of our cups laying around.
Yeah.
I'm like, man.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's going to think we did that.
Right, you know? Right, so
we,
right.
We have to pick it up. But
yeah.
That I think there's a lot to be said. And I was at the board meeting for the city uh-huh. board. Kelly
right.
brought up some litter stuff. I don't right. know what all they've got going because that's the one board meeting I've went to. So I don't know what all they got in process.
It's just been asked to be looked at, and several have been presented to the board. It's a matter of them just enacting it. I was hoping that they would go ahead and pass it. I thought they could have passed it last night, but they wanted time to look at it. And there, you know, different ones. There's some that are really complex, and some that are just very straightforward. What I would like to see happen is to have an ordinance in place, and then us get involved with the schools. To work on a public relations promotional campaign, yes. anti-littering, and go ahead and knock that little thing out, because that's very important. To get back to your original question, what does a developer see when he comes down here? He sees, and it is apparent, he sees a city and county that's in decline. You know, we are the Appalachian Regional Council has us listed as a distressed county. All right, we are a distressed county. If you look at their map, we're one of the red ones.
So that okay? don't look good on our resume.
No. And somebody looking from afar, you know, if they're getting online and they're looking at the stats, I think I told you this, you know, I was on the phone with the Taco Bell people, and they were up in Washington State. She was on the phone with me, and she knew how much traffic each one of our streets had. She knew that our population was in decline. While we were on the phone, I could hear the keyboard clicking.
She was checking the information.
Yeah, and she knows, and they all know, and we've got to get those numbers and turn them around. And you know, the way we do that is by taking forward steps. We don't need any soft compromises anymore. We have got to have a vision, and we've got to work on it. You know, in the Bible it says, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish.
And we're perishing.
And we are.
Because, and that's some statements that I have made about our net decline year after year. There comes a point when the county goes broke, completely, totally broke at some point.
In 10 years, the population of Houston, if it continues as it is, will be about 2,700 people.
You can't support anything.
It's not sustainable.
Right.
We have got to take action now.
In other words, right now is do or die time.
Pretty much. We don't have a whole lot of window. And, the petition, it's still going, but it's slowed down an awful lot. I did a mailing. This is the alcohol petition. I mailed out everybody. We've got a bunch of petitions in, but not everybody that signed it's registered to vote. A whole bunch of people live outside the city limits, and that's another issue that we have to tackle. Houston needs to do some annexation. We've got really tight city limits here.
We do. We're small.
And, when I've talked to some of the city leaders about it, they're like, we can barely take care of what we got. Why? You know, that's why this alcohol is important, because the tax revenue that we're currently sending to other people, whatever your views on it are, whether you drink or not, the people that do drink are taking their money to other communities, and it's leaving Houston, and it's not going to come back.
Well, and it's not only when they leave Houston to go drink, it's not just the few dollars for an alcoholic drink. It's a $60 or $70 food tab. It's buying gas out of town. It's stopping at the convenience stores out of town. When you buy gas, get a candy bar and a Coke to make it back to Houston.
Right.
And virtually all Houston gets off of that whole transaction is the trash.
That's right. They do.
And we usually find that on the street.
And a lot of people forget about the opportunity costs. Think about all the people that in Chickasaw County, where it's dry, that aren't coming to Houston to spend their money either. It's not just Houston people.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The surrounding area
right.
is going elsewhere.
Uh-huh.
And it hurts. I mean, I know when it's a good day, it's nice, and people want to go out somewhere, they go to Pontotoc, and they go to New sure. Albany, and they go to Starkville and West Point and other places.
Right. And you're talking about people out in the county that could come in. You yes. know, people say, well, nobody's ever going to drink a beer in Houston. They'll still go drink their beer in Tupelo, but, you know, they say that about Pontotoc. Pontotoc people that don't want to drink in Pontotoc got to go somewhere.
Right.
But the whole point of bringing that up is that this, you know, both of these aren't individual initiatives that aren't related. They are completely related initiatives to get some economic momentum going in the city of Houston. If we can do these two things and they come in conjunction with the tourism development that we're doing on the square, and we get two restaurants on the square and a Huddle House and a Taco Bell, you know, because our traffic numbers come up.
Right.
You know, all that stuff starts building. And I have seen this happen before. When I got to New Albany in 2012, there was really not a whole lot going on. You know, the trail had just opened up, but you still had vacant buildings downtown. You didn't have any independent restaurants. And now it's a destination. And we can do the same thing here, in my opinion. And I'm from New Albany.
Well, see, now that's my next question for you. You're saying these things. Is that a possibility for Houston or and Chickasaw?
It is for Houston and Chickasaw County. No, let me back up. Let me backtrack. No, most definitely for Chickasaw County. For Houston, that square is beautiful. It just needs cleaning up. It's like an old house that's in disrepair. And somebody just needs to come in and love on it a little bit, and it'll turn into something. No doubt in my mind about that. Chickasaw County is there are horse trails, there's the bike trails, there's Natchez Trace, there's Premier Hunting, there are four-wheeler trails, there are all sorts of things. And we've got, you know, tens of thousands of people every month coming from all over the country right through our backyard on Natchez Trace. There's no reason that we can't be highlighted in those books and people come in and stay at a little boutique hotel or a bed and breakfast or one of these things that develop, and they will develop once we get our feet under us.
So we have things to offer.
Absolutely.
It's just there's certain peripheral things that should go along with that we don't have.
And yes, absolutely. And it's our best chance. When I was speaking to the developer today, you know, his recommendation, or he validated kind of what we're doing, and that's focusing on soft development. Nobody's going to build a plant over at that site, all right? Even if we had the $20 million to put in the water, nobody's going to come and build a plant over there right now. There's not an employment base. Everybody who wants to work is working right now.
We see there's a potential there, but we've got to get to that point. And if we can't figure out how to get some more customer base here,
right,
that's our problem, is that we don't have enough customers in Houston.
Right.
You know, and so we need more people here.
We need more people here.
And year after year, people are leaving.
It's a downward cycle, and what we need to do is reverse that and get on an upward cycle. Because where we're going to have our best luck in recruiting industry, and this is the way it's going anyway, you know, our low, you know, 10 employees, I'd rather have, you know, it would be easier, and it's a lot more. It's certainly much more possible for me to find 10 person shops than one 100 person shop.
Yes.
Okay. The investment and so forth, plus the way technology is going now. A lot of what we talked about in our meeting this morning was about food processing. We've got a lot of competition up in Memphis and Arkansas and even in Alabama with that. But the bottom line is, and when I was in college, I used to work in the summers on these projects, but if you're looking at edible oil processing, like where they turn soybeans into oil and such as that, those plants now, they're just big machines, and you
exactly
might have four technicians on.
Right.
Okay.
It's a huge location.
Right.
But just few employees.
Yeah, you don't have many employees with that. And so a lot of, as we move forward with robotics and stuff like that, and that's talking about heavy, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investment. And we're having to compete with Tupelo being our closest example, where they can just build a building for the heck of it and
right,
hope somebody shows up. We've got to define what our strategy for Chickasaw County is going to be. And the first thing we've got to do is, like you said a minute ago, is we've got to stop the flow of people out of Houston. And that starts with quality of life.
Well, I know we have this outflow of population, of people, and we also have an outflow of money.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is due that we're I think, now this is a personal opinion of mine. I think we're the county and even the city to some degree, maybe a lesser degree. I think we're giving money to things that maybe right now we can't afford to continue doing.
That's exactly right.
And the consolidation, the duplicate, the dual judicial districts is one. And there's some others that I'm not going to mention because I don't want to get on that.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that I think if, as a county in distress,
mm-hmm.
that we need to really take a different view on and start saying, okay, we're going to have to cut back some of this.
And my when I've talked to the supervisors about those things, I say, you know, we don't have to turn it off forever, but we need to just step back for a minute and reassess because some of this stuff is bleeding some money, okay?
And we don't have it.
And we don't have it to bleed. We've got individuals that are giving the county money to pave roads for them, you know, where the right. county should be paving these roads to help develop these recreational activities and these business activities. Recreation is business. It's you know, people say recreation or business, but it's one and the same. And what we want now with so many people that are able to work from home, so many people going into retirement, 11,000 people a day are retiring.
I'm thinking about retiring.
Yeah, I'd like to retire.
I just don't have any money. Do you have to have money to retire?
The thing is, a lot of these people do have money. You know, the markets have been great right now, and they've been great for a while. And, you know, people's home values have continued to increase. And if they have equity in their homes, a lot of these people, especially up north and in wealthier areas, could easily come to Mississippi and not only buy themselves a house, but buy a couple of rental properties for just the equity that they have in their house up in St. Louis or Nashville or wherever.
Exactly. That's right.
And so, you know, if we had something to offer them, you know,
that they would be willing to retire too.
We've got everything else. We've got good schools, low crime. You know, we've got good people. All we have to do is pressure wash, you know,
whoa,
fix the roads. You know,
that takes labor.
Yeah, but there's a pressure washer guy, and I almost said, you know, maybe we could work a deal where Houston residents could just get a discount to pressure wash their houses because the town needs to be cleaned up. But the town will clean itself up if we can turn the ship around and start going toward progress. People get excited and they change it. And I've seen it happen before.
And like right now, we've been in a rut, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, for a long time. This didn't just happen
right.
in a couple of years. This took a lot of time to get this bad. People aren't excited about anything except maybe leaving,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right, right.
And but now, you know, like I asked earlier, or like I said, or asked you, we haven't gone so far as to it's not workable yet.
It's still workable.
It's just it's going to take effort from everybody.
It's going to take effort from everybody in government to say, all right, let's set some goals and say this is where we want to be. We want the next census to show that we're in growth rate. We want our sales taxes and tourism taxes to increase by 4%, 5%, something like that. And that's completely doable if you take the right steps. It's not going to happen by crossing your fingers and hoping it's going to happen. You've got to do it. And the one thing that, you know, anybody out there, there are a lot of good opportunities downtown. There are buildings that, you know, are completely undervalued in terms of what could happen here and what we're pushing to make happen. But people need to make those bets. They don't need they're going to kick themselves. The Houston people that have a little bit of money, you know, 10 years from now, they could have picked up a building that's worth, you know, now you could buy it for $50,000 and suddenly it's worth $500,000 in 10 years.
Know, that leads to something. You say that people with a little money, that they could get in, so to speak, on the ground floor
right.
of hopefully a growth spurt.
Mm-hmm.
We've got right here on the square, Mike Colbert. He owns a couple of properties.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Colbert is putting labor, time, effort, money into the DC Diner.
Right.
Now, Mike is probably, in most people's terms, well off.
Uh-huh. That's,
and generally speaking, unless you win the lottery, you don't get that way by not being smart with money and smart with business.
That's true.
So he's got that way by being smart. Now, here he is over here putting, he's hiring people, he's putting people to work, he's putting his money into a small diner.
Right.
He must foresee something.
He absolutely does.
And so that should make people think, wait a minute, now here's a smart fella.
Right.
He don't just throw money to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
He's got wind of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's smelling something, you know, upwind that's got him, you know, kind of on the move.
There. Yeah.
And so though he's going to be a little competition for me, you know, competition drives quality up.
It does. And so, and what you find is we get a third restaurant on the square. You have a cluster effect.
Yeah.
And people are going to come. They're going to come see you. They're going to come see him. They're going to come to the next place. And then people will come back and reverse the order. And then you'll have people from Pontotoc and New Albany coming and all the surrounding places to come over and see what all this great stuff is happening.
Now, you know, when you have the chili cook-off.
Yeah.
Or whatever we're going to have up here. It's the car show
and chili cook-off. And chili.
There's going to be people coming to Houston by the droves just to eat my chili.
Okay.
I mean, y'all might as well get ready for that.
Right,
We're bringing. It's going to be so crowded because I'm going to have the hottest chili there. It's going to be made with the hottest pepper in the world.
All right.
So this, we might ought to go ahead and start getting things ready. We may need to hire a few extra police officers for traffic enforcement.
Right.
You know, I may be building myself up too bad. But no, I'm sort of joking. But things like that, people get excited over.
Sure.
And we have great locations for things like that.
Right.
And with just a little bit of broom work on the square.
Yep.
Man, we have a prime place for a mean car show.
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous.
And then chili cooking in the background.
Yep.
I mean, where else would you want to be?
Right. No, it's in the fall, crisp fall weather.
That's
going to be perfect. And, you know, a lot of people are really excited about this. I'm real happy with the response we've gotten on social media on this chili cook-off and how it happened. I cooked chili one night and I thought, and I should enter this in a chili cook-off. And then I thought, well, we've been thinking about doing a barbecue thing. So I talked to Alan Moore, who's doing the car show, and I said, why don't we do a chili cook-off? And I put it on social media to see if people were interested, and they jumped all over it.
I hope I was the first person to say I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would, but I think I would. I should get a door prize or something.
Well, I'll give you a tip.
Okay.
On what you can do with those hot peppers. You do it. It's called a Mexican roulette. And you make meatballs, and you sell six meatballs, but one of them's got a scotch pepper in it.
There you go.
All right. And then people eat them, and whoever gets that scotch pepper.
I'm going to have people sign waivers on that. They'll be trying to sue me. Those Carolina Reapers are hot.
Uh-huh.
I've eaten ghost peppers, and they're very hot.
Right.
And I grew ghost peppers several years, and I grew the Trinidad Scorpion pepper, which is hotter than the ghost pepper.
That sounds hot.
I eat one of those to see. I said, I've got to try it so I know. And it was significantly hotter than that ghost pepper. But this Carolina Reaper, it is, I can't stand it.
Okay.
It's hot. I mean, I've tried, I can't stand it. It's too hot.
Right.
But it's good.
That's good. I mean, it's got a good flavor. I like it.
Yeah. But anyways, I know I'm being funny there about that. But that's exciting. I love that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of people do. And I know we've kind of gotten off base, but all of this talk about that sort of thing, that's what drives sort of this economy that we're hoping to build.
Yes.
It's things that attract people here.
Right. All right. You know, I was talking to a fellow today out of his class. Everybody, all his friends, all the ones that went to college, don't live in Houston anymore. They've left. They've gone off. And we have to have a reason for them to stay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that means that we need to be in a position where we can start attracting these small firms here. And those people are attracted by low crime, which we have, good schools, which we have, good access to everywhere where it's easy to get to anywhere. All right. We've got everything we need. We just need to make it a place that they want to live.
Right. And we, it's, it's going to take changing some things.
It will. And like I said, it's been insulated like a nice homey quilt. But the people are leaving. They're not coming back. And if anybody wants to look to Okolona for anything, look at how their population, they're ahead of us on the people leaving part. Okay.
Yeah.
Their population is leaving at a higher rate than ours is. And
well, now, why is that? Because they have United. They have the four-lane highway. They have alcohol. So what's going on there? Can you speak to that? What's happening?
I think it just goes back in a very basic way to the vision. You've got to have, you know, when people started coming to New Albany and our growth rate has increased, we're a growing place. We're one of the growing places. Mississippi's seeing a net decline across the board.
I know Mississippi has it.
Right. New Albany is a bright spot, and it's because we figured out we tried to make our town something that people would find attractive. We've got disc golf. Disc golf doesn't cost a whole lot to do. We could do it here. We just have to have the wherewithal to do it. We've got to get cathedral builders. And I think we talked about that before, about what a cathedral builder is, you know. And we've got to get people who see a vision, subscribe to it, and put their blood and treasure toward it. I mean, you've got to be able to make a bet on your hometown. It's for me to get somebody to come in and an outside investor to come in and build something here when nobody from here is going to take the plunge, it makes it tough.
Okay.
You know,
you're saying that. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a tough question. It may be kind of tough on you.
Okay.
Have you talked to people about coming here?
Absolutely.
Have you showed people around here?
I have.
So you've been doing
the
job?
Yes.
Okay. I mean that's a question that I think people would have.
Yeah,
have
of course.
Have you tried?
Oh, absolutely, I try.
You know,
I get them down here. I have people, I don't know, at least once a month, sometimes two or three times a month. I meet them down on the square on Saturday, take them around, show them things. I don't know, Sean. Yeah, that's what I get.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is supposed to be primarily about the consolidation.
Right.
But, you know, when you start talking about that and benefits to the county, that leads into all of this other stuff.
Right.
But with all of this here, talking about those people that you show around and that could bring some type of industry here
right.
and employ some few people, whatever it might be.
Right.
Is there any correlation between being able to get businesses here and the consolidation of these judicial districts?
Well, yeah. Assuming that we save $500,000 a year and the Board of Supervisors decides to put that money toward what the people on the survey, which is still live at Chickasaw United on Facebook, you know, everybody on there wants roads. 80-some-odd percent, when asked what the money should be spent on it, said roads. So, yeah, we have the money to build better roads. So when you're coming into town or you're looking at a site, you're coming in on a blacktop road instead of that.
Whatever we have now.
The one of the issues with the connector trail from the Tanglefoot to the Trace, or even from the Tanglefoot to downtown. The Tanglefoot Trail is a better road than our roads.
Than our road, exactly right.
And so we've got to get in a position where we can fix that. And there's just you can't expect to move forward looking like this.
Right. And so, in other words, to do a lot of the things that need to be done, it takes money.
Exactly.
And we're bleeding $500,000 a year by having duplicate services in two judicial districts.
Exactly. And then we're bleeding about that much again on some other things that we can talk about another time
right.
that we need to take a break from. But right now, that $500,000 a year is just going to go a lot further. And you know, all ships are going to rise with the tide. And then all that $500,000 ain't going to be spent in Houston.
Now, if
it's going to be spent all over the county.
Well, that's a misconception I think that some people might have, maybe. I'm not trying to speak for everybody, but a lot of the comments seem to be putting Houston against Okolona in this. And I don't think it should be that way. This is everybody for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, it's $500,000 that the county.
It's not going to go to Houston.
Uh-uh.
It's money that the county saves.
But I think everybody can agree, just getting back to this and defending maybe why we've talked about Houston so much. Well, we're talking about Houston because we're in Houston. If we were in Oklahoma, we'd be talking about Oklahoma. If we were in Woodland, we'd talk about Woodland. But whether it's a strong Woodland, a strong Hulka, a strong Oklahoma, wherever it is, the stronger our communities are.
As a whole.
As a individually.
Individually.
The stronger we are as a whole.
As a whole.
Right.
So this money that would be saved by consolidating the county seat or the county seats to one,
mm-hmm.
that money would help Oklahoma. That money would help Woodland. That money would help every location
in
Chickasaw. It
would help everybody. You think about $500,000, and then you think about, all right, let's think about our branding, okay, how Chickasaw County's branded. And we say 3-4 years from now, we're a success story, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they talk about how we have moved our county administration utilities in the 21st century. You pay for your car tag with your phone.
Wouldn't that be a novel idea?
And, well, I mean, we can do it right now. That technology exists right now. And for the amount that we could save, we could buy it for 50 counties.
Technology, this what we're doing right now
right.
is a test to the available technology. You and I are sitting in my house
right.
in a spare room recording on some kind of electronic device, and this is going to go to the internet, and anybody in the world that has access to the internet can stream what we're doing.
That's right.
And that's happening right here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants their own podcast, I can set you up.
Right.
The technology is available.
Yeah.
And it's actually affordable.
Yeah, it gets cheaper and better every year. And it's the way it goes. So we could pay everything online. Car tags, tickets, whatever. You know, all that stuff is available to do right now. And then we have $490,000 left over. Okay, we solved that problem. Now we got $490,000 left over. So what do we do with that $490,000? Well, let's pave some roads. Let's pave some roads.
When we pave the roads,
mm-hmm.
Can we really pave them and not throw this tar and
yeah.
blue rock down or
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
white rock?
And that's the thing. I mean
because that really isn't going to help attract anything.
Well, not only that, it's just you're going to have to redo that over and over and over. I mean, I would love to see us look into new road technologies
well,
in the city.
That's something else because
yeah.
I drove a truck all over the country for almost 19 years. I've been in small towns that had absolutely great roads. I'm talking about smooth. When you crossed a bridge, the only way you knew you crossed it was that you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what. And I'm in a truck, so trucks do more damage to roads, I understand. I'm going through towns with other trucks, and they have great roads. And I've went through those same towns for years, and their roads are great.
Right.
They stay great. There's obviously something they're doing
yeah.
that we didn't do when we had our roads
right.
built.
Right.
So there's some technology there that I think we're missing out on. And I'm sure it's because finances.
Yeah.
But my suggestion would be when we start to build a road, let's do it right.
Exactly.
So yeah. that it stays that way. We get a return on that investment.
Right. Right.
I think what we've done, and I realize we've not had the money to do that.
Exactly.
So we're doing the best we can, and mm-hmm. I'm not against that. But if we can start to turn this tide, I think we need to have a sit down with all of our leaders
mm-hmm.
and say, look, we don't want this bottom shelf.
Yeah, we'd rather do 7 miles of good road than 10 miles of mediocre road.
I mean, because that 7 miles of good road will still be good when you're able to do another 7 miles.
Exactly.
That's what I'm looking at. I mean,
and that's what it's going to take. And, you know, this is widespread. We just fix it now. We got to fix it. Let's just fix it.
Well, I mean,
but we have the opportunity because we are at rock bottom. We are just about at rock bottom.
We're fixing to hit rock bottom.
We can leapfrog other communities going forward. All right. If we get this county consolidation and we get this increase in sales taxes through legalizing what every other county is already legalized, then we should have some opportunities to make these improvements and go straight forward to the next thing, next level. So we can just pay our taxes on our phone. We can have good roads instead of bad roads. We can have next time we lay a water pipe, we can lay a water pipe that generates its own electricity. You know, I mean, there are all sorts of neat technologies that are out there now that are no more expensive than, in the long run of using just mediocre stuff.
Right. I mean, and that's part of what you stated earlier about bringing us into the 21st century.
Right.
There's things that we could do if we could turn a few of these other things around.
That's right. This benefits everybody. I mean, Okolona is and I'll speak to Okolona. It's a beautiful old southern town, deep, rich history. It's one of those. I mean, it's definitely an asset that's kind of fallen into some hard times, like the rest of the county.
Exactly.
Okay. A lot of potential there, and I would look forward to working with them to help them realize that potential. But we've got to be on our legs before we do.
Right.
And as far as these two supervisors are concerned, they were coming from an emotional place, and this it hadn't been brought up in 15 years or 13 years, so.
Well, now, the last time it was brought up was somebody got threatened with lawsuits and everything.
Yeah, so. Well, we just got threatened with a boycott. The thing is,
who's going to boycott what? I mean, really?
That's the thing. And as far as suing us, well, that's what lawyers are for.
Yeah.
And you can't be bullied. And that's what I felt like at that meeting. And, that these were bully tactics that may have been employed successfully in the past. But if we're going to move forward, we can't let those be employed forward. We've got to stand up and say these are the things that we want to do. And that's why that survey was so important, because it showed what the people wanted overwhelmingly.
Yes. Now, before we go, I've read and I've heard it said that if the supervisors voted to, what exactly are they voting on?
The process, they're voting for a referendum. This is, and I don't have the article right now, but it's provided for in the Constitution of the State of Mississippi, that they will call for a referendum. It'll be 2/3 of the people vote to remove a county seat,
mm-hmm.
whether they remove Houston or whether they remove Okolona, then that county seat will be removed, okay? So the ballot, then the State Department, once we get that resolution that it's going to a referendum, the State Department is standing by to Mississippi, State Department, Secretary of State's office, standing by to help us word that referendum. So it'll be, do you want to consolidate the county seats, will be the first question. The second question will be, Where do these need to be consolidated? Or
okay.
Are you going to remove one and consolidate into the other?
So it would take 2/3 of the people, a 2/3 majority from the people.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not a supervisor question. They just do the vote. They just call for the vote.
Okay. But they have that you have to have, what, 3-2?
Yeah.
Or preferably 5.
Well, that would make sense if everybody would just see.
But we know probably it's not going to go that way.
Right,
so
right.
At best, 3-2
right.
is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
All right. If three supervisors said, okay, let's put it to the people.
That's right.
Then the people would get to vote.
That's right.
2/3 of the population or 2/3 of those who vote?
The article says 2/3 of the electors, which I would construe to mean you're not an elector if you don't vote.
Okay.
All right. So it would be 2/3 of the voters in the election would make that happen. And, if 2/3 don't want it, then two-thirds don't want it. And we might try it again, but the thing will have been brought up and the people will get to decide. Now, the issue going forward after that, again, the Secretary of State's office is going to kind of help us walk through there. One of the benefits of this is that the 8 county seats, all of them except for one, are distressed if they have dual county seats. So all these other ones are in the same boat that we are.
And this has not happened in Mississippi.
It has not. So we will be
setting a precedent.
Setting the precedent on it.
Okay. And it may stir some of the others to say, hey, let's look into this.
And I hope it saves them money and they get to get undistressed.
Undistressed.
Yeah, which
that's,
is what we're
key.
Trying
we
to
want to be undistressed.
That's right.
Now, if the people vote, now I've read several comments on Fussbook that said that it is, well, I read one fellow, he come in, he said, it'll never happen.
Yeah,
forget
sure.
about it, it don't happen. Yeah, I think that's the wrong attitude to have. But, I mean, the way times have been, I can kind of understand why he's saying that. But I've read some other statements that said it's non-binding. What are they meaning by that? The vote is non-binding.
I don't know what they're meaning by that. They should look up the constitutional article. It's 237. I'll post it on Chickasaw United, but it is, if you want to remove a courthouse, now the way they tried to do it before was a little different. They were going a different route. This just says if you want to remove a county seat, you get 2/3 of the people of the county to vote to remove it, and it is removed. So, I mean, and this is consolidation, but it's consolidation because of removal.
Exactly.
Because we have to do it. So we're taking a different tack, a constitutional tack this way. The heart of it, the spirit behind it is consolidation. The legal means behind it is removal.
It's removal.
Right.
Okay.
But the point of it is it's not to take anything away from Okolona. It is to add to Okolona. Let's say that those savings were divided up and just given to the cities, and every city got a percentage of it. Okolona would benefit, okay? Everybody would. So you can look at it that way. If they get a road, it's like they're getting a part of it. They don't have money for that road now because they're paying for a utility bill or whatever. So the numbers, I was talking to somebody the other day, the amount of people that are actually doing business but at the different courthouses, far and away more business is done at the Houston courthouse than at the Okolona courthouse. If it were 50%, if it was the same amount, but then those numbers don't even shake out right. This is just because there has been a lack of action. It's a bodies rest in motion thing.
Exactly.
You know, bodies at rest, stay at rest. Bodies in motion, stay in motion. Once we get moving and get out of rest mode and get in the moving room, we will continue to move. It's just making this push now to get us rolling in the right direction.
All right. Well, Mr. Sean, I appreciate it. And
thank you, Billy.
We'll look forward to doing it again with the next argument.
All right. All right. That'll be another one.
Appreciate it.